Kutavach, Shavuot Tov. This is Rabbi Eitan Tokayer from Brooklyn, New York. Tonight, I would like to share with you an insight to one of the more technical areas of the parsha, and that is the discussion of the kosher and the non-kosher animals. And the, of course, we have three categories. We have the animals, the behemoths, which have to chew their cud and have split hooves, and there are the fish that have their own simanim. But when it comes to the fowl, when it comes to the birds, there are no simanim. There are no actual physical or signs or otherwise that indicate what is going to be a kosher bird or what's not going to be an unkosher bird. And therefore, we have to rely upon the list that is given in the Torah. And that's it. We have the list. However, Chazal offer a few specific simanim, a few signs that indeed reflect what makes something a kosher bird, what is the common denominator on this list that makes it kosher, or the common denominator, more accurately, that makes it not kosher. And of those, the Ramban says that the qualifying or disqualifying criteria is that the birds are birds of prey. They have a terrible, terrible midah, a cruelty described by the Rishonim as either a bird of prey sticking its claws into its prey or eating the prey before it is even dead. Really gruesome and cruel, cruel behavior. And the Ramban says that if we consume such animals, then we will somehow be impacted by the cruel, gruesome, terrible midos of this animal, and therefore these birds are disqualified. Okay, assuming that to be the case, it begs the following question: one of the birds on this list is called the chasidah, the stork, as commonly translated. And Rashi tells us, why is the chasidah called a chasidah? Why is the stork called a chasidah in Hebrew? Says Rashi, citing Chazal, she'osa chasidus im chavroseha bimizonos. Because it deals kindly with its neighbors by giving them food. Now that seems to be a rather positive trait. Actually, there are three traits here. She'osa chasidus, does kindness im chavroseha, with its peers, bimizonos, with food. And yet, this is on a list of birds that are disqualified, as the Ramban says, primarily because of their terrible character traits that we do not want to imbibe. What is so bad about osa chasidus im chavroseha bimizonos? Doing chesed with one's neighbors with food. And add on one more, the Ibn Ezra says that the chasidah is nires lamoadim yiduim bashana. The chasidah comes around from time to time at specific times of the year. So here we have four qualities of the chasidah that are either neutral or actually downright positive that begs the question, what is it doing on this list of prohibited birds? But if you look carefully at these four criteria, as delineated by Rashi and the Ibn Ezra, each one of them is actually a disqualifier in part, and put all together, disqualifies it in total. You know, the Jews have a good knack at drawing, excuse me, at snatching defeat from the claws of victory, or seeing dark clouds in every silver lining. So here you have a beautiful Rashi, a beautiful Ibn Ezra, telling us what the chasidah is. It sounds nothing but positive, and yet it must be that within the description of the chasidah, it must give us insight as to why it's a disqualifier. It's just otherwise too disconsonant. So what exactly are the disqualifying agents for the chasidah? So let's go one by one. Let's start with the Ibn Ezra. Hayaniris lamoadim yiduim. Comes at certain times, expected certain times of the year. So it's brought down in Sfarim that there are two types of midos when it comes to a person giving tzedakah or taking care of the needs of the needy. You have the nosein and the mekabel. And sometimes we give to the mekabel based on the mekabel's needs, on the recipient's needs. But here you have an individual, as described as in the metaphor of the chasida, who does chesed in a way which is not based on the needs of the recipient, but based on the needs of the giver, whose nearest lamoadim yiduim comes from time to time. I give tzedakah when it's good for me, when it's convenient for me. I'm a fair weather friend. If it's comfortable for me to give and provide and take care of the needy now is when it's convenient for me. But that's not what a recipient, the needy recipient needs. The needy recipient doesn't need my time schedule. He needs what he needs when he needs it. And so therefore, the chasidah's neres lamoadim yiduim comes around time to time during the year. This describes a fair weather philanthropist. A fair weather generosity, when it's good and convenient for me, it's a good time for me. So nearest misha and nearest lamoadim yiduim is not a particularly praiseworthy trait. Rashi tells us that the chasida does chesed with mizonos. What could be bad about that? And however, mizonos means food. Food is the most basic agent to be able for a person to be able to live their life. And there are some people who give tzedakah, who provide for the needy in a way which meets the needs of the needy. And there are other people that when they give to the needy, they give the most basic needs possible. So if somebody is buying, an ani is buying at a store where he could get it 10 cents cheaper somewhere else, you have a no-sane who will say, why do I have to make up that 10-cent difference? Go buy at the cheaper store. I have to pay for your luxury? When it comes to me, however, I have no problem spending thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on my own needs, going on a vacation here, enjoying a Pesach away from home, wherever it might be, my food, my house, my clothing, on me, I have no problem spending all types of luxuries to the extent that my material needs allow. But when it comes to the ani, don't ask me for a penny more than what you actually basically need just to get by. And that type of tzedakah, that type of chesed, is a stingy chesed that is corrupt a little bit at its core. So osa chesed ibn mizonos, it's not particularly praiseworthy. It's talking about the needs of the giver, not the needs of the recipient. The recipient deserves to live in a way which is b'mechubad, which is dignified, and I, as the giver, have a responsibility to see those needs and not to be so stingy about how I parse my giving. Im chavruseha, so here we have yet another disqualifying trait. Here there's an interpretation which is so famous and so well known, people think it's like Rashi or the Ramban who says this. But in fact, it's the Chidushi Harim. And the Chidushi Harim says the disqualifying agent of the Chasida, as Rashi says, is osa chesed im chavruseha, with her friends. That is to say, when a person, there are sometimes people who give, who engage in chesed, but they only engage in chesed to people who they know, people within my social circles, people who I'm friendly with, people who I like. That's the kind of chesed that I do, and that's a very limited, stingy kind of chesed. You know, if I invite to my home on Shabbos somebody to come for a meal on Shabbos, that's hachnasas archem. When the only people that I invite are my friends, my neighbors, the people who I know, but really the person in shul who maybe might be socially awkward or maybe somebody who's mamish, in need of a place, that's not for me. That's not the chesed. That's not my hachnasas archem. That's not my deal. And so that's a type of stingy kind of chesed. It's a narrow kind of chesed. It is a limited kind of chesed, and it is a disqualifier. So here you have three out of the four traits that seem to be, on the face of it, positive or neutral. The chasida comes from time to time. But in fact, that describes a fair-weather giver, focused more on their own needs than on the needs of the recipient. Bimizonos will only provide the recipient the most basic things to get by, to survive. Anything more than that, that's not my deal. Thirdly, imchavroseh, a stingy type of giver, of chesed, that will only do chesed to people that he knows, people that he likes, people in his social circles. Beyond that, forget it. So what can you possibly say about the fourth and final character trait here, osa chasidus? I mean, what could be better than that? What's the problem with osa chasidus, that does chesed? So here the language is very clear and very precise. There are two midos in life, and there are two midos in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael have a relationship. From the time that the world was created until the time of Har Sinai, Hashem engaged the world through chesed, through pure generosity of spirit. There were no expectations, or minimal, or barely any expectations of humanity, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have ended the entire enterprise in a moment. There was no contract, there was no obligation, there was no sense of responsibility. There was nothing but pure chesed of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam allowed the world to come into existence al pi chesed, and the world existed by his chesed up until Har Sinai. At Har Sinai, something changed. The relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam is now based on a contract, on a bris. And there are rights and responsibilities that come along with that. This is no longer chesed. This is no longer generosity of spirit. This is based on rules and regulations, stipulations, and neither party can just end it on a whim. Neither Klal Yisrael and not even the Ribbono Shel Olam. We are both signed on to this covenant, to this bris, to this contract. And that's the difference between chesed, a spirit of volunteerism, of goodness, of openness, which is by the graciousness of my heart, but not, there is not one scintilla of obligation associated with it. And then on the other hand, it would be the word I think the most properly describes this is achrayus, responsibility and commitment. And just as we have the two eras of human history, until Har Sinai, an era of chesed, and from Har Sinai and forward, an era of achrayus. So this is what the problem of the chasida is. The problem of the chasida is that she gives only based on chesed, based on generosity of spirit. And you know the problem when people give just on volunteerism, on a sense of generosity, on a sense of goodwill? Well, you know what? If there's ever any type of barrier that makes it uncomfortable for me, or inconvenient for me, or somebody that I don't like, or somebody that I don't know, or somebody has a need that is that I don't think is worthwhile, any of these reasons are good enough to squash my spirit of generosity. Because when we give and we do and we act on chesed from the perspective of chesed, i.e. a generosity of spirit, then that has significant limitations to it. But when we come to it from a sense of achrayus, from responsibility and commitment, then even when if it's not convenient for me, and even if it's a need that I don't necessarily feel is the most pressing, and even if it is a need which is for somebody that I don't know or maybe I don't even like, when it comes to from a perspective of achrayus, that's enough of a motivator to get me to do the right thing. The problem with a chasida is that she's a balas chesed when she should be a balas achrayus. She represents a person who gives out of their own goodness of spirit, but not out of a sense of commitment. Each one of these is a disqualifier. All of them together are objectionable. All of them together are a major disqualifier, and hence the chasida is appropriately listed on the list of disqualified birds, of birds that are not kosher, because such behavior is mamish treif. This type of behavior is something which is a disqualifier. How does a person get from being a bal chesed, doing chesed from the perspective of generosity of spirit, to being a bal achrayos, doing chesed because it's the right thing to do, and I'm committed and out of a sense of responsibility? And the answer here, I believe, lies here in the chasida herself. There's a little hint. The name of this bird is chasida, and if you look in the Targum Onkelos, the Targum says that a chasida is called in Aramaic a chiyurta, which means, comes from the word in Aramaic, which means lavan or white. It's brought down that if a person wants to attain chasidus, true piety, they have to be experts in lavan, in whiteness. What does that mean? Chazal tell us the worst thing a person could possibly do is be malbin pnei chaver berabim, to embarrass their neighbor publicly, to whiten their face. A person who wants to be a chassid, a truly pious individual, must make sure that they conduct themselves in a way which will never bring whiteness to another person's face, never bring shame or embarrassment. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, a person who's truly a chassid must never shy away from doing the right thing, even if it will bring embarrassment to myself. Even if everyone else is speaking Lashon Hara, and I refuse to do so, and I'm mocked for it, and I'm shamed and embarrassed, I have to stand up. And if I do so, I'm a true chassid. Everybody else is engaging in less the noble behavior, and I stand up and do the right thing. That is, regardless of the fact that it brings shame upon me, I'm not afraid of that, and I'll do it nevertheless. Somebody who is an expert in lavan, in chiyurta, in whiteness, is somebody who can go from being a bal chesed to being a bal achrayos. Somebody who just acts and does things because it feels good, it feels right, it's something that I want to do, the generosity of my personality and spirit, versus doing it because it must be done, it must be taken care of, and I'm responsible and committed to do so. You know, some people volunteer for organizations, and that's wonderful. Schools, yeshivas, this, that. There are lots of things to volunteer for, but you have the people that they're there working, the professionals that are getting paid to work there 24 hours a day doing what they have to do. So who's on a higher level here? The person who's paid every day to come in and do the job, or the volunteer? And the truth of the matter is, we all know the principle of gadol mitzuva viyosa, misha eino mitzuva viyosa. Somebody who's obligated and required is acting on a higher plane. Because commitment and responsibility are ultimately what create true piety. And while chesed is good wherever it comes from, even if it only comes from generosity of spirit, if a person wants to truly be pious, truly be a chesed, truly be a baal chesed in the highest version of that, meaning to be a baal achrayos, doing chesed out of a sense of achrayos, that requires commitment. That requires lavan. That requires the ability to do what needs to be done, when it needs to be done, for who it needs to be done, regardless. So Be'ezras Hashem, we should all be zoche to recognize the extent to which we are balei chesed versus balei achrayos, and we should work on ourselves on this journey of elevation to become balei achrayos, to be true chassidim, people of great piety, doing chesed every day, out of a sense of generosity of spirit, yes, but even more so, out of a sense of responsibility, of achrayos. Gudvach, Shavua Tov to all.